Hi, I'm John, and I'm a sinner. But God and I are working on that, and with God in this community, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. Jesus is just simply that way. And never, never, never forget, actually your mess is your message when God gets in the midst of it. We're working now on step seven as we walk through the 12 steps together. Step seven is humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings, those defects of character that we have been looking at. And we're actually, today's big day, we're going to say the prayer to humbly ask God to do that. But we got to walk through a couple of notions first. There's two dynamics that it's real important not to expect when we humbly ask God to do this, because we're not in charge of this. So here they are. First of all, when it comes to God removing our shortcomings, don't expect quick. We are not in charge of the timing on this one. We wish that we would be. Maybe it'll happen fast, but quite often it does not. This is from Rick Warren and his book, Purpose-Driven Life. He says, every time you forget that character is one of God's purposes for your life, you will become frustrated by circumstances. You will wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I having such a difficult time? One answer is, life is supposed to be difficult. That's part of how we learn, part of how we grow. Scott Peck wrote that wonderful book, The Road Less Traveled, starts with a whole paragraph that consists of three words. Life is difficult. Now, here's part of what it is that God is doing in this kind of process, because we're not in charge of the timing. We humbly ask God to remove our defects of character. I'd like to get them out right now, but I am not in charge of the timing. And Rick goes on to write this. Next sentence is one of the most important spiritual truths you will ever learn. God develops the fruit of spirit in your life by allowing you to experience circumstances in which you're tempted to express the exact opposite quality. Character development always involves a choice, and temptation provides that opportunity. In other words, I ask God to remove these character defects because I can't do that. God can. It won't happen by my willpower. However, there is a part for me to play in this, and God rarely does it instantly. I was just recently at Crossings Church in Oklahoma. Hi to everybody who was there. We had a big party kind of launching the book steps. So grateful for that. Very deep conversations with so many of you. Occasionally, I remember one of you came up to me and said, you've been sober for 36 years and you asked God and God took away the desire for drink. And I remember in the life of Louis Zamperini, you may know his story, Unbroken. He had a similar kind of experience. But in general, when you read through the New Testament, Jesus may come up to somebody and heal their bodies in an instant. Blindness or lameness or so on. Rarely does that happen with character, with defects of character. Usually it doesn't happen quick. And here's part of what's going on. Rick goes on. Character development always involves a choice, and temptation provides that opportunity. For instance, let's say that being unloving is one of my defects of character. God teaches us love by putting some unlovely people around us. It takes no character to love people who are lovely and loving to you. And so you'll need some unlovely people if you're trying to remove that defect of character. And by the way, at Become New, we are just a community, Fellowship of the Withered Hand, messed up. We have lots and lots of unlovely people all around the world. If you don't have any unlovely people in your life, we can assign you one. Or if you struggle with patience, God will put somebody in your life that makes you wrestle with being patient. If you struggle with kindness, God will give you the temptations with somebody in your life to be unkind. There's a guy that I know, and there's somebody who just kind of sets him off. And so he actually, this is his approach to the removal of character defects, decided when this person says something that would normally provoke me into an unkind statement, I will deliberately simply remain silent. And every time I do that, I will pay myself $20. I thought about paying myself $10 and I thought, no. $10 would not motivate me. It's got to be 20. And so this guy is getting quite wealthy. Now, if you wrestle with greed, then you don't want to pay yourself $20 for character development. Then you want to become generous. And God may put you in situations where actually what you see is the need around you. And here we remember that character development is never about us. It is always for God's world, for others, for a larger and needy community. And God might put you in a place where you're driving past a setting and you see a little homeless encampment. And you're prompted to think, okay, the opportunity for me is to be able to give to that, to be generous financially, or to go work at a soup kitchen, or maybe spend some time helping migrants in a day when there's lots of fear and lots of difficulty around that. But that's the idea with character development. The first thing that we want to be aware of is that we're not in charge of that process, and often it's not going to happen quick. But then there's one other thing not to expect. Don't expect easy. It may be occasionally the case where God will step into your life or my life and simply remove this defect of character in a miraculous way. But the ordinary practice of God, because he treats us as people, is to allow us to be a part of that process. And here's part of what's key about the removal of character defects. We often tend to think the problem is just what we did wrong. I lied here. I blew up there. I gossiped about that person. And of course, that is a problem. But the deeper problem isn't just the action or the behavior or the word. It's that pattern of thinking in my mind, that pattern of desire and wanting and misperceiving, looking at somebody and not seeing what God sees when I'm in them. I was talking to a friend today about, he helps with Become New, and we've had a troublesome situation out there that involved a difficult person. And it's like, oh, this is a chance to actually see this as a person that God loves and a chance to practice love in a situation where it's difficult. But we can forget that so easily. So we need to aim at our mind. And I want to talk about one practice here that is incredibly important when we're looking at not just the surface level, how do I not do that, but how do I reform my mind? How do I retrain my mind? How do I help my mind to think in different ways? The greatest human freedom, Dallas Willard would often say, is the freedom to decide where we will place our attention. What will we allow to occupy our minds? And this is one of the most striking things I remember reading in Dallas's little book, The Spirit of the Discipline, is now well more than 30 years ago. He says this, if you're interested, on page 150. As a pastor, teacher, and counselor, I have repeatedly seen the transformation of inner and outer life. Now, that's what we're talking about. God now is removing those defects of character. Transformation that comes simply from memorization and meditation upon Scripture. And then this. Personally, I would never undertake to pastor a church or guide a program of Christian education that did not involve a continuous program of memorization of the choicest passage of Scripture for people of all ages. Now, I've been doing this long enough to know as soon as we talk about memorizing Scripture, that becomes intimidating. It seems impossible. Pretty much everybody I know just has this sense of, man, I'm just not able to remember stuff. And the longer life goes on, the harder it is. I was telling somebody a story he liked a lot. You may or may not. Guy and his wife were talking to a friend of his, and he was trying to remember about a restaurant where they had been recently. He said, yeah, it's a really cool restaurant. I'm trying to think of the name of it. What's that flower? It's often red, smells really good, has thorns. Rose, yeah. Hey, Rose, what's the name of that restaurant we went to? Anyway, The point of it is, when it comes to memorizing, you may or may not think that you're able to memorize well, but something happens in my mind when I begin to carry scripture with it and I can think about it and allow it to dwell. I mentioned recently Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. Those were words I decided a long time ago because Dallas said this is one of the great passages on spiritual formation. And to allow those words to become part of you. If you're looking for a passage to memorize, that would be a great one. Because it talks about, since your life is hidden with God in Christ, and when Christ appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put off sexual immorality, impurity, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. And then it goes on, anger, rage, malice, filthy language from your lips. Stop lying to one another. And then, instead, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, bear with one another. Over all these virtues, put on love. So take the time, whatever passage is, to allow God's word to get deep inside you so that that becomes part of what's guiding my mind. And I do this not to show other people, look, I can memorize scripture, not to earn brownie points, but because at the deepest level, with my character defects and my shortcomings, what's required is a new way of thinking. So don't expect quick, don't expect easy, but this is what we are asking God to do in our lives. And now, if you're ready, here's the prayer for the seventh step. And I invite you to pray this where you are. This is it for today. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. But now, of course, we're not done. We don't stop here. There's a world of relationships, and we got a lot of work to do on those, which is a wonderful thing. There is more life yet in front of us. So keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you can pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.